Hello and welcome to Let's Talk IVF. Our aim is to cut through the overwhelming amount of clinical information and give you a clearer understanding about the science, the emotional impact, and everything in between. Hosted by Sophia Beziotto, a scientist with 25 years of experience in the field of fertility, we want to thank you for listening. Now, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk IVF. Today on the show, we have the wonderful Stacey Hayes, and I'm going to let her introduce herself. Hello and welcome, Stacey.
Hello, thank you for having me. Hello, everybody. My name's Stacey Hayes. I'm from Essex in England, and I work in high-end security, but I'm also an MMA fighter and a boxer, and I study forensic psychology at uni, and that is about everything you need to know about me.
That sounds like an impressive amount of firepower. I can say I watched one of your fights, and I'm so glad that I wouldn't want to be your opposition. Let's just say that you were very formidable in that boxing ring and fighting ring. I think they call it a cage in MMA.
Yeah, the cage or the octagon. Yes.
Okay, the cage. You looked amazing in there. Now, obviously, the reason that I reached out to you for an interview is that I believe we're in a couple of the, well, at least one of the Facebook groups together, and I saw your story and I thought, you know what, sharing your story may help someone else. And it is in relation to the shot, and I affectionately call this the clot shot. So I thought you might be able to tell us a little bit about your story and what's been happening for you. So can you please tell us, when did you decide to have the clot shot, as I call it?
I was actually against it, and then I was working in a vaccination centre because we was in lockdown, so I work in security and I had to adapt to whatever work was around, so I went into a vaccination centre. And so I felt a bit, if I'm honest, I felt a bit pressurised to have it. And then in the end, I was just like, oh, I'm just going to have it. And I did. And yeah, and that's exactly just how it came about. So I should have thought more about it, to be honest.
Wow. And security at a vaccination center. Now, that seems really interesting. Why would you need security at a vaccination center? Is this a common thing? I don't ever remember going to any doctor's surgery where they hand out vaccinations and there ever being any security there. Why is there a difference with these centers?
In the UK, we've got security in all of our vaccination centres, purely just in case protesters show up, anti-vaxxers. So, yeah.
Wow.
To just be vigilant for them. And sometimes, well, emotions are high, you know, and so people are reacting different to what they're going through. They get frustrated waiting in the queues, etc. So, yeah, conflict management is needed quite often, actually, to be honest, in the vaccination centres.
Okay. And, of course, we have never had any vaccination centres for anything else because this is the world's first. Okay. Now, that being said, how was your health after having this shot? Now, you said you had it earlier this year. Was it in March, you said?
Yes, March.
So how's your health?
I had the shot, and then 24 hours later, it was the worst feeling ever. I had chills, pains. I was up in the night screaming in agony. It was just awful. And it lasted, so I had the shot on a Friday. The side effects started to come around 9 o'clock the Saturday, and it was all over by the Monday.
Wow.
I was in pain. I was in agony. Even my partner, he said he was really worried. It was bad. I was having to sleep with, I've got a dry robe, this jacket that athletes use that to come out of the sea. It's like got towel inside the jacket so you can get changed from coming out of the sea. So I had my dry robe on and I had two duvets on me just to sleep because I was that cold. It was terrible. The chills were horrible.
Wow, that does sound horrible. So how was your health, though, prior to having the shot? What, were you in good health? I'm imagining as a...
I was an athlete, so my health was fine. I've always had, heavy periods and things like that. But, you know, as in overall general health, I was fine. And then about a week and a half later, 2 weeks maybe, stretching it, I ended up in a hospital because I was just bleeding and the blood was just never ending. I said to, I contacted the GP and I just said, I've got all these symptoms, because I watched a program for about ovarian cancer, and I said, I've got all the symptoms. And he was like, okay, we're going to send you for a CA125 blood test. Well, that came back high. So that's an indication of cancer. So then I got there to the hospital and they said, oh, no, it could be endometriosis because of it does that with, if you've got endometriosis. So no one was really panicking. They sort of just blamed it on endometriosis. But I never stopped bleeding. And so I had to, and then I was back in A&E again. So they just gave me tranexamic acid and sent me away. That happened about another 3 or 4 times. And it was just horrendous. So I ended up bleeding after that first jab for 9 weeks straight. And heavy palm-sized blood clots, changing a pack of Always towels, using a pack every day. So there's like 12 extra large, extra thick pads in each pack. So I was like changing a pack a day. And yeah, no one was really helping me. And they just kept sending me home. Until a lovely gynecologist, she said, why hasn't this lady had a biopsy? And then it just went downhill from there, to be honest.
So 9 weeks of bleeding, 9 weeks of bleeding. And how many times in that 9 weeks did you go to the emergency room or to your doctor's surgery and essentially get sent home again?
4 or 5.
Wow, that's incredible. So finally a gynecologist said, something's wrong here. So what happened after that gynecologist? You saw that gynecologist.
Oh, so sorry. It's just because it just reminds me of the stress. So the gynecologist said, why hasn't this lady had a biopsy? So she took an awful biopsy from me. She really dug it out. She said, because sometimes it comes back inconclusive, so I'm going to have to really dig this out. So she done that. And then she said, wait 10 days for the results. The results didn't come back for about 2 weeks. And then they was inconclusive. So that's when the stress started to hit. I was like, I thought I had cancer. So then they come back inconclusive. Now I'm starting my IVF journey. So now it's coming up to the 26th of August. And that was the day that my IVF journey started. And instead of that, I was having another biopsy instead on the 26th. Which then didn't come back for another 30 days. I had to go to the hospital and literally kick off and say, I'm not leaving until a doctor gives me my results from my biopsy, which thank God they were clear. So, it's been very stressful, very stressful. And then I've just had to have an colonoscopy because of, oh, sorry, we need to go right back. I've missed out the scans. So they did a couple of scans and one hospital found that I had adenomyosis in April and the other hospital didn't find anything at all. So then I had to fight for the right results even with that. And then they said that the adenomyosis, now fast forwarding to last month, the adenomyosis is affecting my bowels. And so now they've done a colonoscopy and now I've just sent off for another biopsy because they found polyps. I know that's nothing to do with that, but and then they're testing other areas of my my colon as well now.
So it's sort of spiraled out of control since since March, since you had the shot. You had the shot and then you had all these symptoms over the weekend and then you started bleeding and 9 weeks later and multiple doctors' scans and tests, conflicting results, and you're still sort of finding yourself fighting at the hospital to get some results to find out whether or not you had cancer. And now you've gone down a different tangent and you're having biopsies and polyps and all sorts of things going on. And none of this was present before you had the shot.
No. My periods, I'd had problems with like symptoms like, they've also said that I've got quite a few 4.5 centimetre cysts on my ovaries now, but they won't touch them because of I'm starting my IVF journey and they could still fall off and they have to be 5 centimetres for them to do anything.
And to be honest, look, I've looked at a lot of ovaries on the scans in the operating theatres and both in the fertility clinics. And, you know, they can have cysts. That's not too much of an issue. But I guess, you know, this is on top of a long list of things that have happened and you weren't clearly aware of any of this. And some people might say, you know, oh, maybe it was a coincidence. Maybe, you know, but 9 weeks of bleeding is not a coincidence at all, is it? 9 weeks is an incredible amount of time to be bleeding every day, and such heavy bleeding, you would be worried you had cancer.
Well, this is it. And it's definitely not a coincidence because of, I've always had like, you know, different things wrong, like say endometriosis with my womb. My periods were always only for 3 to 4 days. And they were, to the day, I knew when I was coming on my next period. Now, I don't know. So since, what are we, March, like April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, for the last 9 months, I must have only not bled about 3 weeks.
Wow.
Oh, God, I'm really crying.
But that is incredible. I mean, the stress on your body, on your relationship, on your lifestyle, it's impacting everything. I mean, you know, it's hard enough.
I've literally, like, in the summer, I was at my friend's party, and we're in the summer, we were wearing light clothes. I had to go home 3 times because I had flooded in front of everyone. At work the other day, I sat down, and I just sat down on a leather chair. Thank God it was the leather chair, not the material. And I'm a very clean woman. I'm always changing. I just sat down and the blood, it squirted out the back of my trousers and onto the seat.
Oh, no. I mean, that is an incredible amount of blood. And 3 weeks only out of the last 9 months not bleeding absolutely would be an incredible impact on your life. And to say that it was a coincidence, obviously that's not. There's something else seriously going on there. Now, did you have any other health issues? You said you had the heavy periods before you had this shot.
Yeah.
Any other health issues that you might think could possibly have led to this? Any other concerns you had, or apart from heavy periods, that was it for you?
No, nothing. Like I said, I was a professional fighter. My last fight was only 2 years ago. It was the September before the March lockdown. I don't smoke. I hardly drink. I was always in the gym training. You know, it's completely changed my life. I can't do any of it now. You know, it's no, my health is fine. Okay. I was quite cautious of the way I live.
And even with the living, I know you said you're clean living, you don't smoke, you don't drink. Any other experimental drugs, anything that you could attribute this to that you were doing or taking? So anything else that you might have taken?
No. I don't even really take paracetamol. I just suffer with the headache.
Wow. Okay. So definitely, absolutely has to do with the shot that you had, and obviously it's having a massive impact on your life. Now, what are your biggest concerns at the moment? You mentioned you're about to start fertility treatment. What are your biggest concerns at the moment for yourself?
That one, I'm not going to stop bleeding for treatment to start, and two, that if I do get to the point where they're going to plant the embryo, it's not going to stick to my uterine wall because of everything going on. So I just don't think it's going to work. I just, that's what my biggest fears are, because of, it's really big for me. Like, I'm out of foster care and I had quite a horrific childhood, and I got through everything and become the woman I am, knowing that one day I'll have my own family, and who cares? It would have been worth it. I've got my own family, and that's being taken away from me. So it's just not nice, not having family and then not being, my dream of having one gone. It's just, yeah. So it is. So now I'm sort of like, right, I can't cope with this bleeding. Is the IVF going to work? Should I just have a hysterectomy? Then am I going to have the hysterectomy, bring on this early menopause, and I'm just going to end up like just going insane?
Yeah, look, it's,
I just feel lost.
It is a very, very hard place to be at the moment, especially when you want to have that fertility treatment and what you're being told by the doctors is something completely that flies in the face of that.
Sorry, they said that I can't have any medication because if I'm starting my fertility journey, they cannot give me anything to control the bleeding. I just have to suffer.
Yeah. That's not good, is it? I mean, like, it is a suffering to be bleeding like that, and taking any medication to stop it, as they said, you know, you're trying to do fertility treatment, you will be on a whole range of medications to try and get more than one egg. Are those follicles growing in your ovaries? And yeah, everything that you do take will have an impact on how that cycle goes. What would be your advice to any woman or man thinking about having this particular shot, or experimental as it is, experimental emergency use only drug? What would be your advice to them?
Well, I've been thinking about this, and I actually don't know what my advice would be, because of, for one, I took the AstraZeneca drug, and then as soon as I took it, about 2 weeks later, they announced to the UK that anybody under the age of 40 shouldn't be taking the drug. And I was like, right, I'm 37 and you've just given me the drug. So, no, it was about a couple of months later, not a couple of weeks, sorry. And so, yeah, I can't speak for the other drugs, the Pfizer, the Moderna. I can't, you know, sorry, I can't pronounce them properly, but I just don't know. You've got to look at where you are in your life, what you want from life, because there's a possibility, you know, like with any vaccination, that it can go one way or the other. So who am I to give someone advice on what to do? You know, you need to make your own decision, but all I can do is tell you my story.
Yeah, that's, you know, right.
That's all I can do, is just tell you my story, because it might not affect you and it might affect you. But another thing I can tell you is that my gynecologist sat me down when I was talking to her, and she said, a number of my patients are going through what you're going through since they've had the injection.
Yeah, that's a very powerful thing. And look, certainly that's what we're seeing in the database of adverse events. I'm literally on the Vigi Access one at the moment. And when you look at the database, the numbers are astronomical. So they've got millions. This is the World Health one. Of course, this has nothing to do with the other ones that are in Europe and America. And of course, we have one in Australia as well. They have over 2,706,410 adverse reactions with these particular drugs. And there are a number of reproductive issues. So reproductive system and breast disorders, which includes both male and female, there's 126,076 as of today. And we know that the numbers aren't being recorded. We know that people who are going in, like yourself, with period problems, you know, you went to how many doctors, how many emergency rooms, we know from the nurses and the paramedics here in Australia that they're simply not reporting these incidents as anything to do with that shot at all. They're not being reported.
They're not. Even I'd go to A&E and they would, a couple of visits, they just turned around and said, oh, the guy is too busy to see you. You can see an A&E doctor. That happens to me. No one's acknowledging it. No one's acknowledging it.
No.
It's, I am literally, you know, being ignored. No one's matching my symptoms to the jab.
No, and that's, and you'd be a pretty formidable woman to ignore, I might add. But look, seriously, that what is going on for you, the fact that you went to so many doctors and emergency rooms and had scans and had conflicting information, and at any point in time, my guess is that no one's recorded this or even put anything down in relation to this shot. Now, you were under 40. No,
okay.
Yeah, they didn't. They weren't supposed to give it to you. The government changed the recommendation after you had it. Did you just, I guess the question is, did you just have the one shot?
No, I had, because that's when I remembered. That's why I said it wasn't a couple of weeks. It was a couple of months, because I'd already had the second shot. And that's when they announced that under 40s wasn't supposed to have it.
Okay. And so did the 9 weeks of bleeding start after the second one or after the first one?
After the first.
Okay. So the first shot.
I myself hadn't worked out that it was from the shot.
How could you, though? How could you, though, when all the professionals aren't telling you that? Exactly. You trust the government, and every single person you went to see was not linking and connecting those dots.
It wasn't until August that my partner turned around and said, do you think the shot's done this? And I was like, oh my God. And then I spoke to my best friend and she went, I knew it was the shot the whole time, Stacey, but how could I tell you that?
Yeah.
But she knows me inside out. We've been friends since I was 12.
it's a really hard conversation to have with your friends. I've got a friend that's exactly in the same place as in order to go to a wedding has taken this, not even for work, not even for loss of income. And it's a really hard place to be, especially when she's absolutely against it and is taking it for all the wrong reasons, not because of health, not because of what the government says, not because of anything else, only because she doesn't want to miss a wedding. Well, which is sad.
This is it. I understand her point, because that was another part of the reason I took it, because I'm actually, like I said earlier, I'm in high-end security. So, well, I'll just say I'm a bodyguard. So I need to be going on planes with my clients. I need to be with my clients, and they need someone that's vaccinated. If I don't do that, then I haven't got a job.
Yeah. You know?
So there is the pressure there as well. So I do understand where she's coming from. And it is, you're pressured. You can't do anything unless you're vaccinated.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, now you've done this, it's impacting your life so severely. I mean, how would you cope going back to work and traveling internationally and being on planes and having to deal with this every single day?
Well, I did go back to work. I've had some clients since lockdown's lifted, and it was hell. I was literally double and tripling up on my pads. So I was very uncomfortable. When you're having to follow your client, I was exhausted. I was a little bit exhausted, yeah.
I can imagine. I mean, yeah, exactly. Bleeding that much, your iron levels, I can't imagine, would be very high. You know, it would just completely drain your body if you were bleeding that heavily, that consistently. I'm surprised you even went to work. And if you had to spring into action for any reason in your line of work in high-end security, that would be not a very pleasant experience at all if you had to actually fight.
I still do it, you know. You've always got the backup adrenaline. I wouldn't have been at work if I didn't feel I could look after my client. But it was just hard. It was just strenuous, and it was hard. It was hard.
Yeah, look, and it sounds like you've got a little way to go on your fertility journey. And we, as I said, we'll talk a little bit more about that after this podcast. But I just wanted to thank you so much for sharing your story, because it is so important that people hear about your story and so many other thousands of women out there who are on social media talking about exactly the same things that you are, about having irregular cycles, postmenopausal women who are bleeding, heavy clots, bleeding continuously for weeks and weeks on end. I think it's so important to share your story and to let people know what you've been going through, and to actually have a real person and a real story is what really makes a difference when people are trying to weigh up the pros and cons of whether they do take this or they don't. And as your best friend said, there's a lot of people out there who are seeing what's going on, and it's very hard to sort of, you know, when your work is depending on this and you can't work without it, that's a really tough position to be in.
It is. And also, you know, I've just been left. Like, I literally have just been left. Every time I go, like, when I went to hospital, 9 times out of 10, they don't know what adenomyosis is. So I'm really struggling with that there's not enough knowledge on this condition as well. So I've started my own TikTok, and it's called My Adenomyosis Journey. And I've also done... put it on the platform of Facebook as well as TikTok. And I'm literally going through everything to try and just manage. So, like, talking about pesticides, B vitamins, etc., A vitamins, you know, estrogen, like products that bring on estrogen. And I'm just sort of like just researching, and so many women are coming forward through me through them different platforms saying, thank you, I didn't know this, my doctor hasn't even told me this, you know. It's just researching, getting out there. But I just hope this doesn't happen to anyone else. I really don't, but I know that it is going to.
Yeah, unfortunately and very sadly, it's happening to many, many millions of women around the world. And I wanted to thank you so much for sharing your story. You are very brave, and we will certainly get your story out there so that hopefully we can help some other woman who may be in exactly the same position as you and might do a little bit more research before going down that pathway. So I really thank you for putting yourself out there and sharing your journey. It is a very personal one, but a really important one to share with other women.
Yeah. Thank you very much for giving me the chance to share my story.
Thanks, Stacey.
Thanks for joining us, and we hope you learned something new today. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at www.ivfcoachingclinic.com.au or our Facebook page, IVF Coaching Clinic, where you can talk to Sophia directly and find out more information about coaching and how it can assist you further. Until next time.